Whenever I've been teaching the kids, which I have for a few weeks, I always want you to be mindful of the fact that in Scripture, there are three main divisions, and you should know what they are. When we look at Scripture and you look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, what's the first portion of this? You kids should know this. What is it? Are you saying it over there? Time passed. There you go. Time passed. We need to understand that God dealt differently in time past than he will in this third portion, which is, thank you, ages to come. And he is dealing differently today, which we call but now. Thank you. Great assistance there. So things are different now than they were in time past, and they're different today than they will be in the ages to come. And we need to understand that from the Word of God. It's the only way we can understand the Word of God properly and the only way we can apply the Word of God properly. Because if you try to apply truths that are over here in but now, there will be confusion, there will be misapplication, you will not be reading things that God intended for you to apply. They're important things because God wants us to learn what he's done in the past, what he's going to do in the future, and what he's doing today. But this is our mail, and we'll look at that in the next couple of weeks. But today we want to focus on something else, the birth of Christ. So if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, it says in the Word of God that in the beginning, so let's put the beginning with this line, all right? This is the beginning. In the beginning, God did what? God created the heaven and the earth. All right? God created the heaven and the earth. It's very important to understand how God did that. This is not for you kids. I'm explaining this for the older people here because they don't know this. You know, there are things that we call voice activated, right? There are cars that are being built today. There's a big push to electric cars and a big push to self-driving cars. And one day you will be able to get in your car in the garage and voice activate your car and say, today I'm going to Grace Bible Church of Rolling Meadows on Pheasant Street. Just sit back. You've just activated your car with your voice, and it'll get you here. It'll get you here safer than if you drove or than if I drove. Because I only have two eyes. Those cars have eight cameras, two in the front, two on each side, two in the back. And to the dismay of any present company that may make a living off of personal injury, accidents in cars, this is bad news because there are going to be a lot fewer accidents. Cars are able to drive. They're voice activated. We can get in our 12-year-old car, say, passenger temperature, 72, and the car will turn to 72 degrees. I want AM 1160, and it'll go voice activation. Older people don't know that. You kids do. But, you know, we have these things called an iPhone, and I can push there, and I can say, nearest gas station. Oh, it
okay,
just...
Okay, here's what I found.
There's a gas station 0.7 miles from here, or I can say, nearest Starbucks.
Okay, check it out.
Here's the nearest Starbucks, 0.7 miles. That's voice activated. But the only reason that this works is because somebody programmed that in here. It's not the power of my voice that is causing this thing to function and to tell me where the nearest Starbucks is or the nearest gas station. Watch. Cooper Spencer's address.
I don't see Spencer Cooper in your contacts. Perhaps you meant one of these?
You see, nobody programmed Cooper Spencer's address in there. It doesn't know what to do. Now, how did God create the heavens and the earth? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3. What does it say there? And God said, let there be light. Nobody programmed that in there. The light didn't know to turn on because somebody programmed it in order so that when God said, let there be light, it would respond like Siri did or like the car does. No, it was the power of God's word. There was no light. God said. That's what's very important, is how did God create the heavens and the earth? So that is his word. The power of his word. God is all powerful. And he was able to say, let there be light. And instantly, there was light. And then God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 6, he said, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the heavens. And guess what happened? Instantly, that happened. You see, in a sense, this universe was voice activated by the power of God's word. The Bible says that by faith we believe that God created the universe out of nothing. He had nothing to start with. That's how powerful his word is. And then in verse 9 of Genesis 1, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And then it says, and it was so. Of course, it's the way it was, because that's what God said. And verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Guess what happened? There was grass. Because that's what God said. That's how powerful God's word is. God's word is so powerful. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmaments, the heavens of the heaven, to divide the day from the night. And there was a light that was called the moon, and a light that we call the sun. How did it get there? God created it by speaking it into existence. Before God said, let there be light, there was only darkness. God had to speak the word, let there be light. So let's now look at the birth of Christ. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It speaks about the word. This word, which created the heaven and the earth, God said, and it was so. And John chapter 1, verse 1 says, here, this is the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now in John chapter 1, it says something else about the beginning. It says, in the beginning was what? In the beginning, in the beginning was the word. What did that word do? Create the heaven and the earth and everything that was in it. In the beginning was the word. So it tells us that when the beginning came, the Word was there. What else does it say? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was with God. And then it says something amazing. The third part of that verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And then what does it say about the Word? The Word is God. That Word by which God created the heaven and the earth is apparently this person that was in the beginning with God and was God. Who is this person? Verse 2 says, the same was in the beginning, over here, with God. And then it says something else about this Word. Verse 3 of John chapter 1, all things were made by it. Is that what it says? All things were made by him. So this is now not it, the Word. The Word is a him. It's a person. All things were made by him. By whom? The Word, which was in the beginning with God, and who is God. All things were made by him, and without him, was not anything made that was made. So it says that nothing was made without the Word. We still don't know who that Word is. Who is that Word? Well, go down to verse 10 of John chapter 1. Verse 10 says, he was in the world. He, the Word, was in the world. And the world but was made by him. We already know that from verse 2. And the world didn't know him. He came to the world that he made. And the world that he made, the people living in the world that were made by him, rejected him. We still don't know who he is. I think you suspect who he is. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him. So there were two groups of people over here. When he came somewhere over here. He came down to earth. He came to his own. To his own in time past. He came to his own. And his own people rejected him. I think we know who he is, right? And so they rejected him, but then it says in verse 12, but as many as received him, over here, as many as received him, you know what the same thing as received is? It's in that same verse. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. So, if they would receive him, they would become the sons of God, children of God. But what does receive mean? It says in verse 12, even to them that believe on his name. So he comes to his own people, the Jews, the nation of Israel, who was promised that he would come, who was hoping that he would come, who every year celebrated the possibility that Messiah would come. And when he comes, they don't recognize him. When he comes, they reject him. So there's two groups of people here. Two groups of people, the ones that rejected him or did not receive him, and people that receive him. And that's what's true of this group here. There are people here that have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't believe. And there are those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And to those who believe, it says here, he caused them to become God's children. Now verse 14. Now we know who he is. And the word, remember, the word which was in the beginning with God, and the word is God, and the word became flesh. That's Christmas. The word, the Lord Jesus Christ, was born, came down. He came down in order to do something that nobody else could do for us. What does the Bible say? Well, you know the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior. That's why he came. He came to be the Savior of the world. How would he become a Savior? Just think of it. The Word, who created all things, without him was not anything made that was made. The Word, who is God, God in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes down to earth. And he announces that he is going to die for his people. And some people rejected what he said, and some people received what he said. And to receive him is the same as to believe that what he said was true. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. That is the most significant thing about Christmas. It's fun to celebrate with family. It's fun to give gifts, and for some of you, it's a lot more fun to get gifts. But the greatest gift of Christmas is the fact that unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. When the angel announced that he would be born and that he would come, he said, "And you shall call his name Jesus." Why Jesus? The word Jesus in Hebrew is the word Yeshua. And the word Yeshua, the word Jesus, is the Hebrew word for Savior. "And you shall call his name Jesus." Why would they call his name Yeshua or Jesus? "For he shall save his people from their sins." You and I have a problem. A big problem. And the problem is sin and sins. Sin, which is what you're born with. You are born a sinner. And the way you show that you're a sinner, the way you give evidence, the way you prove that you're a sinner, is because you commit a lot of sins. God says in his word, all sinned. All sinned. It says there's not one good person that ever lived on this earth, except he who is the Word, the Creator, who came down, the perfect, sinless Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down to be a Savior. And our problem is sins. And you prove that you're a sinner when you're very, very young. If you don't think so, I'll ask your parents. I bet they could tell me that they never taught you how to fight with your brother or sister. You knew that all by your own. I bet your parents, your mom or dad, didn't sit down with you and say, "Now, I want to teach you how to disobey me." No, you knew that all by yourself. Because you and I are born with this sin nature that is within us. And it manifests itself, it expresses itself, it shows itself by all the sins that we commit. Hundreds and thousands of sins, possibly every day. Every time that we disobey God, it's a sin. Every time that we don't do what God tells us to do, that's a sin. So we've got a sin problem. And the Bible says that what we deserve for our sin, the wages of sin, so wages are, if you go to work somewhere and they tell you you're going to get paid $10 an hour, those are your wages for every hour you work. The wages of sin is death. Death, which is separation from God forever and ever. But the verse doesn't end there. That's the bad news. The wages of sin is death, but what is the gift of God? The gift of God is eternal life. How? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we have a room full of people here, and there are two groups of people. One that is still without Christ, who's never trusted Christ for what he did on the cross, and those who have received God's gift. Now, when you open your gifts on Christmas, do you have to pay for those? Or did somebody else pay for those? Somebody else paid for those. Your parents don't say, "Now, I'm going to give you this new gift, and you owe me $100. Well, then that's not a gift. You're buying it. But your parents bought it. It's all paid for already. All you have to do is receive it. Now, I doubt there are any of you that have done this before, but when you get a gift from your parents, and it's a great gift, I doubt you said, "I don't want it. Take it back." No, you receive it. And God has given us an incredible gift. And the gift is eternal life, and it only comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He died on the cross. Your parents may have used a check or a credit card or cash to pay for your gift. That's how they paid for it. God has a gift for you, which is eternal life. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins. He takes away death. But this gift has to be, what does it say here? It has to be received. That means you have to believe personally. You have to believe that you're a sinner, that you deserve to be separated from God. You deserve God's punishment. God's judgment. But God loves you so much. He shows his love toward you in that while you were still a sinner, not when you were good, not when you did the best you could, and God looked down and said, "Oh, now there's a good boy, there's a good girl." No, it's while you were still a sinner. Doing nothing good for God. Nothing. while you were still a sinner, God demonstrated his love toward you, in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Now, there's some of your friends may do nice things for you. They will if they like you. But if you're really mean to them, they're not going to do things for you. They might do things to you that you don't like. God takes his enemies. God takes bad people, bad children, bad adults, and says, I'm going to die for them. I'm going to send my son to die for their sins. The song that Bev sang, our sins drove the nails into his hands. Our sins are what caused Jesus Christ to die on the cross. That's the good news. Christ died for our sins. That's what Christmas is about. That's what the birth of Christ is all about. The Bible says that he came to make a payment. And the payment was for your sins, and it was on the cross. Greatest gift you'll ever get is eternal life. The greatest gift you will ever get is God forgiving you your sins. And he only forgives your sins if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for you and that he rose again the third day. And he rose again because he completed everything that needed to be done in order for him to be your Savior. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. The Word, God, who created the heavens and the earth with his Word, and the power of his Word, he brought all this into existence. God, who is 100% holy and sinless and all-powerful, and he knows everything, and he's completely holy. He decided, God the Father decided that he would send God the Son down to earth to be born in the city of David, as a Savior. Called his name Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. What an amazing, amazing gift God has given us when he sent his Son. Not just to be born as a human being, but to die as God and as a human being, for you. If you were the only person in this world, God loves you so much, he would have sent his Son to die for you. To die for you. And the question is, what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? You either believe that you're a sinner before God and that you deserve eternal separation from God, and that the only way for you to get to heaven, the only way for you to receive forgiveness from God and go from death to life is by believing what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for you. The Bible says that this is a gift that you can't even describe. There are no words, this indescribable gift. There are no words big enough or beautiful enough or powerful enough to describe this gift that God has given us, that he would send his son to die on the cross for you and for me. When somebody commits a crime, when somebody kills somebody else, or somebody attacks somebody else and hurts them, they go before a judge. And the judge takes that killer. And if he's a good judge, if he's a righteous judge, he will punish that killer. But if you're in a court of law, and you're the killer, you're the criminal, you're the evil person, and you come to that court of law, and you have no defense, no excuse, you know you committed the crime, you know everybody knows you committed the crime, you know the judge knows you committed the crime, and you know you're going to get punished severely. You may get the death penalty. You may get put in jail for the rest of your life without parole. But what if you were the criminal and you came to that court of law and the judge, for some reason, says, you know, I love you. And you think, why would he love me? I'm a criminal. I'm evil. I've done horrible things. I said, well, I love you. And I'm going to show you my love. And instead of putting you in jail or instead of putting you on the electric chair for all the crimes you've committed, I have a son. I love my son. I love him more than anything else in this world. And I've asked my son if he will take your punishment. I've asked my son if he will go to the electric chair in your place. And if he agrees to do that, I'm not going to punish you for your crimes. I'm going to punish him. And you can go free. Wouldn't that be amazing? There's no judge in this world that exists that would ever do that. God did. God is the judge. And you and I will one day stand before God. And God says, I love you so much. I did not want to punish you for all of your sins. I didn't want to punish you for them. I want to give you eternal life. I want to forgive your sins. So I'm going to send my son. He's going to die for you. He never did anything wrong. God loves his son. But he loves you so much that he sent his beloved son, his only son, to die so that you would not have to pay for your sins, your crimes against God. So that's what I want you to know. That's the most important thing you need to know in life. Is that before God, you're a sinner. And God loves you so much. He demonstrates his love toward you in that while you were still a criminal, a sinner, Christ died for you. All you need to do nothing to try to be accepted before God. God doesn't accept anything you can do. Only believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be saved. You'll get the gift of eternal life. Your sins will be forgiven. For all eternity, you'll never have to pay for your sins. You know why? Because Christ already paid for them on the cross. That gift is already paid for. Christ already paid for this gift. All you need to do is receive the gift by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the most important message about Christmas. That's it. It's simple. A 3-year-old child can understand it and believe and have their sins forgiven. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. What you do with this wonderful gift, this wonderful message about the Word becoming flesh and the Word dying, the Lord Jesus Christ dying for us, that will determine where you spend eternity. Because this life is not all there is. This life will one day end. Guaranteed. You know what the death rate is among human beings? 100%. We're all going to die. And one day we will stand before God. There's only one question he's going to want to answer to. Only one thing he wants to know. Not how good you were, or how bad you were, or how much you won in sports, or how good of a student you were, and how much money you made, and how powerful you were in this world. He doesn't care about any of that. He wants to know one thing. What did you do with the gift that I sent to you? I gave my son for you. What do you believe? What have you done with that gift? The way to receive that gift is just to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God did for you. You get it? Simple, isn't it? Simple. And it's hard for us to believe it. You know why? Because we think we have to do something for it. You don't have to do anything for your Christmas gifts but to open them and receive them. You don't have to do anything for this gift, the gift that God gave when he gave his son for you and for me. Get it?